reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, The African Synod, The Church Alive in Africa Today. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Millennium Appointment. I am Festus Tarawali. The Vatican on Monday released Pope Francis' message for World Communications Day, to be celebrated on the 29th of May. The message this year focuses on listening, which the Pope says is an indispensable first step in human communication and a dimension of love. Christopher Wells reports.
After focusing last year on seeing reality and conveying it to others, Pope Francis, in this year's message for World Communications Day, emphasized the quality of listening, which he said is decisive in the grammar of communication and is a condition for genuine dialogue. The Pope noted that today people are losing the ability to listen to one another, while at the same time listening is undergoing new developments, especially due to new forms of communicating. These trends demonstrate, he said, that listening is still essential in human communication. The title of this year's message, Listening with the Ear of the Heart, invites us to consider that listening involves more than simply the sense of hearing. True listening is necessary for genuine relationships and is foundational for the relationship between God and humanity. In many relationships, however, true communication is lacking, as dialogue ends up as competing monologues, where the two sides refuse to listen to one another. This is evident nowadays even in public life, the Pope said, where people often end up talking past one another. Pope Francis insisted, however, that listening is the first indispensable ingredient of dialogue and good communication. There is also a great need to listen to and hear one another within the Church, the Pope said. The Pope pointed to the ongoing synodal process, asking for prayers that it will be a great opportunity to listen to one another. Comparing communion in the Church to a choir, Pope Francis said, unity does not require uniformity, monotony, but the plurality and variety of voices, polyphony. He concluded, at the same time, each voice in the choir sings while listening to the other voices, and in relation to the harmony of the whole. I'm Christopher Wells.
In the Clementine Hall in the Vatican on Monday morning, Pope Francis received an audience participants in the General Chapter of the Canonesses of St. Augustine, Notre Dame Congregation. In his address, the Holy Father urged them to continue to follow in the footsteps of their two founders, St. Pierre Fourier and Blessed Alix Leclerc, and help young people to restore a taste for life. In a tweet on the penultimate day of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, Pope Francis said, we have set out on a journey led by God's kindly light that dissipates the darkness of division and directs our journey towards unity. The world needs God's light, and that light shines only in love, in communion, and in fraternity. The Pope will preside at Vespers on Tuesday to mark the end of the annual Week of Prayer for Christian Unity in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. Our listeners on shortwave radio in West Africa can follow the live commentary of the ecumenical prayer on the 9,705 kHz frequency on the 31-meter band, that is 9,750 kHz, beginning at 17:25 local time in Rome or 16:25 UTC. You are tuned to the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
And down for the post summer sumo. Burkina Faso's president, Roch Marc Christian Kabore, was on Monday still being held by mutinous soldiers. Two of the rebellious soldiers told Associated Press by phone early Monday that they still had the president under captivity. They did not say where Kabore was being held, but said he was in a safe place. Gunshots were heard late Sunday night near the president's residence in what appeared to be a coup underway. There were shots fired early Monday as the battle took place at the presidential palace while a helicopter flew overhead. The roads of the capital Ouagadougou are empty except for checkpoints by heavily guarded mutinous soldiers. It was also not exactly clear who was controlling the state broadcaster. Fighting began on Sunday. Soldiers took control of Lamizana Sangole military barracks in the capital Ouagadougou. Earlier, civilians tried to drive into the city as a show of support for the rebellion, but they were broken up by security forces firing tear gas. The mutiny came a day after public demonstrations calling for Kabore's resignation. President Kabore has been leading Burkina Faso since being elected in 2015 after a popular uprising ousted longtime strongman President Blaise Compaoré, who was in power for nearly 30 years. Kabore was elected in November 2020 for another 5-year term of office, but frustration has been growing among the Burkinabe because of Kabore's inability to stem the spread of jihadist violence across the country. Attacks linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group have been escalating, killing thousands and displacing more than 1.5 million people. The military has suffered losses since the extremist violence began in 2016. Angry mutinous soldiers told Associated Press that the government was disconnected from its forces in the field and that their colleagues were dying, and they wanted military rule. Among their demands are increased manpower in the battle against the extremists and also better care for those who are wounded and the families of the dead. A fire in a Cameroonian nightclub has claimed the lives of 17 people and seriously injured several other persons. Some of the injured are being nursed in Yaoundé's intensive care units. Cameroonian authorities said they were investigating the fire, which started Sunday in a popular upscale Yaoundé nightclub. The victims are yet to be identified, but there are fears that some of the victims will probably include people visiting Cameroon for the ongoing Africa Cup of Nations. Workers at the nightclub said the fire may have been caused by a short circuit, but the government attributed the fire to the use of fireworks. You're tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, you can hear the second part of Francesca Merlo's conversation with Sister Veronica of the Sisters of Don Orione in Kenya. The religious sister, who is now 63, became visually impaired at the age of 13. Sister Veronica spoke to Francesca on the eve of the 4th January World Braille Day, a day that reminds us of the importance of accessibility and independence for people who are blind or visually impaired.
I suppose living in a community like yours is extremely helpful and reassuring.
Exactly. Also, it helps so as you don't think, now I live with these people, they see I cannot see well, how are they looking at me? No, for me, this situation is just normal. Because challenges are always there unless you learn how to handle the challenges. Because if you wait for challenges to handle you, things might work the other way. Things might work the other way around. So And these challenges are everywhere. So it's up to me, the visually impaired, to know that I have not come in the congregation to be, or to be helped, or to be, I don't know, to get the ready-made. Because even our founder says, come the way you are and give what you are so that you can take from others that what you don't have. Then it also helps to moderate the will, the thoughts, and even ways of doing things. Because I should say, in fact, once God diminishes one sense, the other side increases. Because, for example, where my sight cannot reach, I can use what we call imagination and sensitivity. I remember when we were in school, the teacher, because me, I studied in an integrated school, mixed. So while he or she was writing on the blackboard, drawing, the others could get. But for us, we were supposed to use our creativity to get what does that, because he used to draw and say. So you have to use your creativity and even a lot of common sense it needs. So from there, for me, I think there is no difference. Now I can say there is no difference, because my way of reasoning is, I cannot say it's lower than the other way. So if I know like that, then I cannot say I feel out of place. Me, I always feel I'm okay, I'm normal.
And you could tell what your teacher was writing on the board?
You see, he was writing, but then he was dictating as notes.
So it is true what we read in books about if one sense is diminished, your others are amplified, and you manage to communicate in with yourself through other ways, through the touch, through the smell. The author Borges, who is a Hispanic poet, I'm sure you know, used to say that he was visually impaired, and he said that he could smell the colors.
That one now, it depends to the gift of each one.
And it will be so wonderful for people in similar situations to be able to hear your confidence and your happiness and your strength to portray, yeah, and to tell your story for me is. How old were you when you became a nun?
23. Because you see, I did not join as soon as I finished school. I first did some work outside, like for example, I was somehow teaching. So after that, before I went to the college completely, I felt I was called to another way.
And
so I did that day.
Sorry. And what were you teaching?
I was teaching English, the Kenyan language called Swahili, and somehow I was teaching mathematics.
Wow. Is this to other young people who are also visually impaired?
Yes. Yes.
And how old are you?
63.
With regards to World Braille Day, which is being celebrated on the 2nd of January, are you familiar with Braille?
Very well.
And how old were you when you learnt it, and who taught you, and how was that process?
That was now when I was, anyway, I was at the end of 13 years.
It's so soon after your illness.
I went to a blind school, that is where I learned for 7 years. Because there was the first to seventh class. Then after, after that, I did the exam, but the exam is the same for everybody in the country. So the exam and the time is equal for everybody. Only that now, since our exams are marked in nationally, it's the nation that marks, so we should use the writing style that everybody could understand, especially those who are marking the exam. So in this case, we were to type our exam.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I have any other specific questions to ask. Is there anything that you would like to share with me? With us?
Of course. I have to. If this is the day, it's a gift for us. One thing I have to share is that for a visually impaired person, one thing I have to share and very important is to learn to wait for people, but not people to wait for us. For example, I ask you a favor, please can you do this for me, or can you accompany me to this place? Then you tell me, wait. So if you give me the time, or you tell me at 2, at 3, I should be waiting, I should be the one waiting for you before 3 or before 2, before the time you have given, because it is easier. Even myself, even I feel now, I asked for, now I'm delaying the person. It's better for the person to delay, but not me. Then it would be very good for the visually impaired to have this motto: I need opportunity, not sympathy. Because most of the people, anyway, always according to how I present myself, people say, oh, she cannot do this, let us do for her. That is not helping, because it's better you show me how to get the fish, but not always to give me, because tomorrow you will not be there and will give me this fish. So I wish they can learn to always, yes, depending, but to ask for help, surely when I cannot do otherwise. Or I say, I'm not aware of how to do this, please, can you help me? That is more important. Anyway, according to me, but it depends on each and everyone.
So help me, but don't do it for me. Going back to when you were younger, what was it, an extra expense to send you to a school for visually impaired people?
Oh, when I was young, that time the schools for impaired were free.
Okay, and what is your greatest memory of when you could see properly, your memory of light?
My memory of light, I can remember, I could see everything, and I even used to climb the trees. I used to like the others were doing.
Thank you. That's it from me. Anything else you would like to add again?
I would like to add that the most important thing is self-acceptance, self-awareness, and even self-confidence. I'm not in a positive way anyway. Not to say I can do everything myself, I don't need anybody. No. To say, if others can do it, I can also try to do it. So at the end of it, if you cannot make it, then you ask but not to ask for help before you try anything. Then I hate this word, there are people who, or when time comes for trying or giving oneself, somebody tells you, but now you are telling me and I don't see. That thing hurts me, because I always think there are people in this world who have no arms and who have no whatever, and they are happy, they are alive, they do something. And then, while there are some people who are in bed, they can do nothing for themselves. And me here, only because of sight, I complain. Then I say that is an offense to God. So if the visually impaired can at least appreciate God that each one has a piece of cross which is not heavier than the strength of the person, and God has a purpose for everything. Now life, it's better to live life happily and to appreciate.
That was Sister Veronica of the Sisters of Don Orione in Kenya, speaking there to Francesca Merlo.
And now, our feature Millennium Appointment. The World Health Organization, the WHO, issued recently new air quality guidelines to save millions of lives that are lost every year due to air pollution. According to WHO, about 7 million people die every year due to exposure to polluted air. Some of these are children who, as a result, suffer from reduced lung growth and function, respiratory infections, and aggravated asthma. For adults, air pollution is responsible for the narrowing of the heart arteries, which reduces the blood and oxygen that reaches the heart muscles, and consequently causing heart attack and stroke. The WHO noted in the guidelines that air pollution is one of the biggest environmental threats to human health, alongside climate change. Improving air quality to stressed can reduce the effects of climate change, while reducing emissions can in turn improve air quality. Therefore, by striving to achieve the guideline levels, countries will be both protecting health as well as fighting climate change. Health researchers have now found a link between exposure to air pollution and COVID-19. Dr. Maria Neira is the director of the Department of Public Health and Environment at the World Health Organization. She explains more.
What is new is that we need to lower the recommended levels of exposure to air pollutants in order to protect people's health. So we know now that even exposure to a very low levels of certain pollutants that we are breathing every day will put us at risk. And that's why for 6 key pollutants, we are recommending lower levels that will be protecting your health. The important message of these guidelines is that if those recommendations of WHO are implemented, particularly for PM2.5, which is one of the most dangerous for our health, we could save 80% of the total number of deaths that we have every year due to air pollution. And that number is 7 million premature deaths caused by exposure to air pollution. So we have an incredible opportunity here that we cannot miss to protect our health.
The new guidelines recommend air quality levels for mainly 6 pollutants. Dr. Naira elaborates on them.
There are 6 pollutants that are very much of concern for our health. One of them is the so-called PM, so particulate matter 2.5. It's such a small particle that can go very easily to your lungs, and from our lungs will not stay there. It can go even to the bloodstream, and from there reach any organ in our body. Then we have PM10, which is a little bit bigger, and then other 4 pollutants that are coming essentially from traffic or from the combustion of fossil fuels, and I'm sure that you hear about SO2 or NO2 or ozone or carbon monoxide. All of those 6 are the ones that we are targeting, and if we are successful on implementing those new recommendations and lowering the levels of those 6 pollutants, we can save many, many lives.
Recent medical studies suggest that exposure to air pollution worsens the gravity of COVID-19 on people with pre-existing conditions such as respiratory illnesses. Dr. Neira again.
It's clear that the bad quality of the air we breathe will be a major risk factor for acute and chronic respiratory diseases and cardiovascular diseases. In addition to that, if you are exposed to air pollution, you will develop certain diseases, underlying diseases, that will give you a greatest possibility of develop severe cases of COVID if you are affected. So we see a clear relationship between air pollution and the burden of COVID-19 in places that were very polluted. This is an additional reason why now on the recovery post-COVID-19, we need to reimagine a greener world with clean sources of energy, a place where we can breathe air that is not killing us. Just to remember all of the people that is listening to us, at the moment, 90% of the world population is breathing an air that is not respecting the recommended standards by the World Health Organization, the ones that will be protecting our health. Most of the decisions about the reduction of air pollution, they need to come from governments, from mayors, from politicians. But as an individual, I can put pressure on my politicians for them to reduce those levels of air pollution and therefore protecting my life.
Dr. Maria Neira, the director of the Department of Public Health and Environment at the World Health Organization. I am John Baptist Tumusime.
You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Justice and Peace. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.